Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. I will be reading out of an NASB translation. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning with these 10 verses. I'll also have them up here on the screen. And this is the revelation that John received from Jesus. And God's word says this: "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ 4,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand on the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, some very, very interesting scripture here today. Things we don't talk about too often. We're talking about future events here, Lord, things that have not yet happened. But Father, I want to explain the best that I can what we just read to the people that you have put in front of me here this Sunday morning. And Lord, that's quite a task. So Father, I just pray that the things that I will say will be a learning process for all of us. But most of all, Lord, that your scripture will change us from the inside out, because that's where the real transformation happens. I trust you, Lord. I trust that you will have us learn a little bit more about this exciting book. We give you praise, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This is our fifth week in this series that I've titled, "Are We in End Times?" And that is the question that I want to answer with this series. And we're all going to have to make up our minds if we feel like we are or not. I'll just give you what the Bible says, and then we can all make that determination ourselves. But today's message I have titled, "The Millennium Views." Views, plural, because there's more than one view on what the millennium is all about. Today we're going to do this. We're going to do two things. One, we're going to look at exactly what Revelation chapter 20 tells us about the millennium. And the millennium and the 1,000 years are synonymous. They are the same thing. We will look at that. We'll look at those six things that the Bible teaches us. And then number two, we're going to see how all five of the different eschatological views place this millennium on a timeline. So today is going to be probably more like a Sunday school class than what it will be really a sermon. Once we put these five views on a timeline, this is where we're going to find there's going to be major differences in how and why there are five different views of how people look at end times. The only place in the Bible where we see anything at all written about this millennium is in the first seven verses of the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And that's it. We're not going to find this anywhere else, so we're not going to be able to look and help Scripture interpret Scripture, at least not one for one, talking about these exact 1,000 years. So what are we told about the millennium? You have six fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin, and we're going to fill those out. And these are pretty much going to be word-for-word what the Bible tells us. It's going to be rather simple. Number one, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. We get that from verse number two. That's pretty much what the Scripture tells us, that he is bound for 1,000 years. The next one is going to be very similar to that, our second fill-in-the-blank. Satan is thrown and sealed into the abyss and cannot, two important words, cannot deceive the nations for 1,000 years. It doesn't say he goes away. It says that he just cannot deceive the nations for 1,000 years. So those two go together. He is bound for 1,000 years, and he's sealed in an abyss and cannot deceive the nations for 1,000 years. The third thing, it says that the saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We get that from verse number four. The saints will reign with Christ for these 1,000 years. And then the next fill in the blank goes along with this one. It says this, the saints are part of the first resurrection and are priests of God for 1,000 years. So we know this. Let's put those two together. The saints will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and they are part of the first resurrection and are priests of God for 1,000 years. And then we got the last two, and they go together. It says this, the rest of the dead come to life after the 1,000 years are completed. Who are the rest of the dead? I'm not going to get into much detail about all six of these points, but I will say this. The rest of the dead are the unbelievers, okay? So we'll know that. We're going to get more into this next week. And we get that from verse 5. It says, the rest of the dead come to life when the 1,000 years are completed. And what else happens after the 1,000 years are completed? It says that Satan is released after these 1,000 years are completed. So when the 1,000 years are over, whatever these 1,000 years are, we know this, the rest of the dead come to life and Satan is going to be released. So this slide that I got up here kind of summarizes all six of those points that we just talked about. And those are your fill in the blanks in your bulletin here this morning. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. Satan is thrown and sealed in the abyss and cannot deceive the nations for 1,000 years. The saints will reign with Christ for these 1,000 years. The saints are part of the first resurrection and are priests of God for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead come to life after these 1,000 years are completed, and Satan is also released at this time. Now let's look at, these are the five different eschatological views that you will find being taught by people and in churches today. We talked a little bit about these a couple weeks ago. You have the preterist view, which is full and partial. You have postmillennialism. You have amillennialism. You have historic premillennialism. And then you have pre-tribulation, premillennial dispensationalism. Don't let the big words fool you. They're actually rather simple. But these are the five views. Each one of these views looks at the millennium in a slightly different way than the other. And this can be a little difficult trying to explain these, because under each one of these, there's going to be subsets of those, and then subsets of those. I honestly believe that there are no two people in any one of these camps who believes exactly the same thing. But they all look at the millennium, these 1,000 years as outlined in Revelation, in a different way. And for the sake of time, I'm going to generalize each one of these five views, and we're going to look at how each one of these looks at the millennium. The first one, let's look at the preterist view here first. We covered the full and partial preterist camp in an earlier message, and we said this, the full preterist believes that everything in the book of Revelation, everything from the Olivet Discourse has already been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled by 70 AD in the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And they believe that Christ returned, maybe not so much bodily, but he returned in judgment. So on their timeline, they have this. And we'll start at 30 AD. Each timeline will start at 30 AD. And 30 AD represents the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and Pentecost Sunday, which we pretty much consider the day the church began. So we're just going to throw all four of those points into something we'll just call 30 AD, the cross. They only got two events on their timeline, 30 AD and 70 AD. And in between those 40 years, they call that the millennium. So it is symbolic. Those 40 years are symbolic of this millennium, this 1,000 years that Revelation 20 is talking about. They believe everything else has been fulfilled with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. Well, where did they get that from? Just real quick, on the Olivet Discourse, when Jesus is answering their question, Jesus says this generation will not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. So they take this generation to mean a generation is about 40 years. So they believe that everything that those people heard that day would be fulfilled in their lifetime, in this generation. So that's how the preterist becomes a preterist. And this is, again, the full preterist view. They believe everything is already complete. And again, there's going to be variations on all of these camps, and there's variations within. But generally speaking, to the preterist, everything's done. It's all over. Everything's been complete, even what's written in the book of Revelation. Let's look at the next one. Last week, we talked about nine signs that Jesus gives in the Olivet Discourse, which will lead up to his return. And I have eight of those nine up here because eight of them were very, rather unfavorable, and the ninth one wasn't so bad. The first four on the left, we said that they could be proleptic. They could refer to the destruction of Jerusalem or the return of Jesus. So we'll consider them in this category. And then we have the other four over here. The abomination of desolation, brother versus brother, children versus parents. Christians will be hated by all. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes and famines. False Christs and false prophets will appear. Many people will fall away from the faith. They will apostatize, as the Bible tells us. And the last one, because of lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. These are the eight of the nine signs that Jesus outlines in the Olivet Discourse that he says will happen just prior to his return. Now that leads us to the postmillennial view. The postmillennial view. They believe the millennium is a literal 1,000 years and the return of Christ will come post this millennium. That's how they get, so you have 1,000 years and then you have the return of Christ. So Christ comes post-millennial. That's how they get the term postmillennialism. It's rather simple once you know the terminology. So let's look at their timeline. Of course, they had 30 AD, 70 AD, like everybody else, and their church age goes all the way up until, question mark, the return of Jesus. They don't know when Jesus is coming back, but they know that that will be the next significant event. But you see something that happens before the return of Jesus. To them, the millennium happens before the return of Jesus. Most postmillennialists believe that this millennium is literal. But here's something interesting about that. They believe in this millennium, the world will become Christianized by the time Christ returns. In other words, all the nations will have heard the gospel. Most of the people in most of those nations are going to be Christians. The world will be a great place, and morals will be wonderful. The Puritans, have you ever heard of the group of people called the Puritans? They really bought into the post-millennial view. And they actually tried to live a life to try to usher in such a view. People that were part of the Restoration movement, the Stone Campbell movement, believed in this. And why do I bring up the Restoration movement and the Stone Campbell movement, which is one and the same? Because they were the founders of a movement called the Disciples of Christ. And some of you who have been here a long time know that this church used to be a Disciples of Christ church. But every time the world seemed to be getting Christianized, something happened which would discourage their view of postmillennialism. For instance, the Stone Campbell movement started in 1832. History time, 30 years later. What was going on in 1862? The Civil War. All the people who thought that the return of Jesus was being ushered in because the world was becoming a better place lost a lot of faith in that view because of the Civil War. But it is still a view that is out there today. A lot of the people who buy into postmillennialism today believe that the millennium could be symbolic. So there's the first two. Let's go to the next one. Amillennialism. This is the amillennial camp. They believe the millennium is symbolic, and it ranges from the cross to the return of Jesus. This is where I camp. This is the camp that I buy into. Let's look at the chart. 30 AD, 70 AD, like the other ones. Then you have the church age and the millennium are one in the same. So in other words, we are living in the millennium as we speak. The return of Christ will happen on a day and time that we don't know when that's going to be. And immediately after that, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation chapters 21 and 22, which brings us into the eternal state. It's rather simple. We do believe that there is a millennium, and we do believe in what's written in Revelation chapter 20. We just take it all symbolically. But like I said a few weeks ago, we take the symbolism very literally. We don't dismiss that symbolism. We do take the symbolism as symbols, but we do believe that they represent something. There's very few variations in this camp. Most amillennialists believe pretty much the same thing. It is pretty much the simplest view out of all five of the views. Next, we have the historic premillennial camp. They believe the millennium is literal. It's a literal 1,000 years, and that the return of Christ will precede the millennium. So you have the return of Christ, and then you have the millennium. That's why it's called premillennial, because Christ returns before the millennium. After Christ's return, they say that he will rule and reign on the face of this earth for a literal 1,000 years, and he will do that from the city of Jerusalem. So what you have here, you have the church age coming up to the return of Jesus, kind of looks like all millennialism up to that point, but they put the millennium after the return of Jesus. It's a literal 1,000 years, then you have a new heaven and a new earth happening after that. Interesting fact, the historic premillennialism and amillennialism for about 1,800 years were the only two views that anybody ever had. You were either in one camp or you were in the other. And that's all there were. You might have had a little bit about preterism. You might have had a little bit about postmillennialism, but you did not have the fifth and final one, which I'm about to put up there. So again, I wanted to point out that this view, amillennialism, and historic premillennialism were the two views that were held by the church, both the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, either one or the other. Last but not least, we have pre-tribulation, premillennial dispensationalism. Don't let those big words fool you. They're not that difficult. This view is probably where you are at. This is probably where you are because it is all you've ever heard and all you've ever been taught. This is the most popular camp today. It is the Left Behind series, as written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins. If you read the Left Behind series, they based that whole series on pre-tribulation, premillennial dispensationalism. One of the pastors that I was watching over the last couple weeks said that he went into a bookstore, just an ordinary bookstore like Books A Million or one of those, and he went to the religion section, and he wanted to see how many books were written about end times. He counted 117 books that were on the shelves written about end times. 102 of those 117 were about pre-tribulation, premillennial, dispensationalism. Let me do the math for you. That's 87% of the books in that bookstore all talked about this view right here. Popular teachers today buy into it. Teachers like one of my favorite guys, John MacArthur, David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, John Hagee, Jack Van Impe, and his sidekick, Rex Sella. Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell in the whole Liberty University scene. Hal Lindsey, who wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth, which was the number one best-selling book in America during the 1970s decade. It outsold any other book, The Late Great Planet Earth. All those individuals, and there's so many others, they subscribe to this camp right here. And like I said before, it wasn't up until about 4 or 5 years ago that I also subscribed to this camp. Why? This was the only view I ever heard. And I promise you, either next week or the week after, I'm going to share that conversion story with you, and I will tell you why I no longer buy into this. So let's look at their timeline. 30 AD, 70 AD, and you have the church age, which goes up until something called the rapture of the church, when every Christian that's on the face of this earth will be taken away, will be snatched away, will be raptured off the face of this earth, taken up into the clouds, because Jesus has come down into the clouds and he takes and removes his church from the face of this earth. And it's at that point in time where the face of this earth has nothing but unbelievers remaining. And those unbelievers have been what? Left behind. Because all the Christians have been raptured away from the face of this earth. And then for 7 years, you have tribulation. 3.5 of those years are just times of tribulation. The last 3.5 years are called the Great Tribulation. Some really bad things that are outlined in the book of Revelation are going to happen during that time, according to this view. 7 years after the rapture of the church, Jesus is going to come back to the face of this earth, where he will rule and reign, just like the other camp. He will rule and reign on the face of this earth from Jerusalem for a literal 1,000 years. And then 1,000 years later, there will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth where we go into the eternal state. So it's called pre-tribulation because the rapture of the church happens before pre the tribulation. All the Christians, we're gone. We are out of here. It's called premillennial because the return of Jesus happens before the millennium. And it's called dispensationalism because I'll tell you that next week. So make sure you come back. We'll save that word for next week or maybe the week after. But I do need to cover what that means. It's just another reason why I had to defect out of this camp. This view of eschatology, this view that we see up here, this view that you probably know and you probably buy into. And remember, eschatology is not a hill to die on. Amen? We okay with that? We're good with that. But this view of eschatology began around the year 1830 with a man named John Nelson Darby. And it was proliferated later on in the late 1800s and early 1900s by a man named Cyrus Schofield. You may have, or you may have seen on the bookshelves, a Darby Bible or a Schofield reference Bible. You may even have one. If you do, they're still alive and well today. They are extremely popular. And I assure you one thing. All the study notes in a Schofield or Darby Bible will point you to this view of eschatology. Remember, the study notes, the commentary, no matter what kind of Bible you have, is not scripture. Thank you. It's not scripture. It's just somebody's commentary on what they think the scripture means. So if you have one of those Bibles, it's going to point you to this. So that's our five views. And that's how the five camps look at these 1,000 years. This thing called the millennium, as is written in Revelation chapter 20. The full preterist looks at it as symbolic, and it's already happened. It's done and gone. The postmillennial, it could be literal or symbolic, but the world is going to be a really, really good place to usher in the return of Jesus. Amillennial, it's totally symbolic, and we are in the 1,000-year reign as we speak. Historic premillennialism, it is a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus after he returns and sets up his rule and reign on the face of this earth. And then the pre-tribulation, premillennial dispensationalism, again, they take it literal, like the one above it, but they add in a rapture of the church. They will say that the church is gone, they are out of here. And then I will also, it's important to understand what the dispensational part of that means. And again, I will cover that either next week or the week after. Next week, what are we going to do? Again, this is pretty much like a Sunday school class today, strictly informational about what the five views look like. Just to let you know that the view that you may believe in, that you have bought into, is not the only view out there. That doesn't mean that you're right. It doesn't mean that you are wrong. It just means that your view, my view, whatever that view is, It's not the only one out there. And we can agree to disagree. To me, this is not a hill to die on. As I've told a lot of people before, if the rapture is going to happen, and I'm an amillennial, on my way up, I'll be apologizing to everybody. Sorry that I didn't believe what you believe, but let's get out of here. But next week, what do I plan on doing? Next week, I'm going to take these same 6 points that we talked about earlier about the millennium and look at it from two different views. We're going to look at these scripture verses right here about the 1,000 years from the premillennial, pre-tribulation, dispensational view, because that's the most popular view out there. And then I'm going to look at it from the amillennial view, because if that's what I buy into, how do I explain this stuff? How do I explain this? And I want to do that. I want to do that next week. I want to compare how some people look at these and how an amillennial looks at these. Because how they are viewed, how we answer these questions right here are going to help us answer the question, are we in end times? And if we are, how should we prepare for that? It's very critical how we look at these verses right here. Let's pray.